We just thank you, Father. We just thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in Alvin, Texas, Lord God. We just thank you for what you're doing in each one of our lives, individually and corporately, Lord God. We just thank you for your glory and your presence, dear God. I just thank you that we draw near to you and you draw near to us, Lord God. We just thank you, Lord, for the word that goes forth tonight. We have ears to hear what you're saying to us, eyes to see what you're showing us, Lord God. We just thank you, Father, for giving Pastor Scott or whoever's bringing the word, I think it's him. I thank you, Lord, for giving him utterance by the Holy Spirit, for giving him boldness to declare your word, Lord God, and everything you've revealed to him, Lord God. Let it be that we would be hungry to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to him, that we might draw upon that anointing. And we just thank you, Lord God, for that we grow in the things of God, that we do the things you've called us to do. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and mercy, dear God. It's your goodness and mercy, Lord God. It's so good. It's so good. We just thank you, Father. We just give you all the glory for what you're going to say now. We receive it with gladness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, there were times that Israel, as they were making their journey through the desert, every day was an adventure, don't you know? Didn't know where their next meal would be coming from, where they would find water. Didn't know, you know, what this promised land looks like. All the questions, the what ifs. And there were moments when God would come down and he would reveal himself to Moses. He'd say something to him and he'd say, "Now call the whole assembly together. Call the people together and tell them what I've just told you," right? You know, when we come together for church each week on Wednesdays, Sundays, it's kind of like those meetings, isn't it? God has called us here to hear what is the word of the Lord. What does God want to say to us? We need to take it as serious. You know, church going can become ritualistic. It can become, and it's good. We want it to become ritualistic. We want it to become habit. Make a good habit of coming to church. But don't let it become stale to your spirit. Amen. Always come with an expectant heart saying, "Lord, what is your word to me tonight? What are you saying to me tonight?" Amen. And it's as if God is meeting with us. Praise the Lord. And by the way, Bob, I'm not preaching tonight, but Terry is. But it's as good as me preaching. Amen. So let's give her a big welcome as she comes to bring the word of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I love how that song's talking about us coming back under the flow and the fountain of blood. And just before we get started tonight, I just want us to, just get our hearts in a good place with God. Not a good place, but in a clear place with God. Sometimes we just have been through just some stuff during the day, right? And we've stepped out from underneath the fountain of blood. And sometimes we just need to step back into the light. Let's just take a second in our heart. Let's just close our eyes and do that. Lord, we just step under the fountain of blood. Lord, where we need forgiveness, Father, where we need cleansing, Father, things that we just need to bring before you and say, you know, Lord, I need to make adjustments in that and just receive the forgiveness. Receive the forgiveness so we can sit here just with a pure heart, just in a fresh way before God. We don't have to come with regret, ducking and hiding. We just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I love the scripture that Scott brought out on Sunday. I had just been reading through the book of Psalms and I had written it on my whiteboard in my little office there. What was it? Psalm 85:10 that talked about kindness or love and truth have met together and that righteousness and peace have kissed. What is that? That's Jesus. All of that Love and truth have met together, righteousness and peace. That's what we find in Jesus, right? So we can approach him when we mess up. We can approach him and just walk in this lifestyle, not of like, ooh, messed up, always ready. No, we're just under the fountain. We're just under the constant fountain, and we can be at peace with God because that's who he is. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to start talking about me and my brother. When we were kids, there was a little car that our family had, and it looked like that. It was a 1972 Toyota Corona. Ours wasn't this color. Ours was a creamy white, yellow. What color was that car? It was kind of hard to identify. Off-white, yeah. Ours wasn't as cute as this one, if that car can be cute. When we were little kids, we were in a bowling league. I was an absolutely terrible bowler. I was 8 or 9 years old, and in those days, they didn't put the little gutter things in, you know, so we actually had to throw the ball and get it down there to hit pins. I rarely hit a pin ever, but our parents, and this is when bowling alleys were kind of safe and family-ish, so our mom and dad would drop us off on Saturday, right, and we'd go bowl, you know, and all the big kids hated us little kids because we were so terrible, but the way the scoring worked, our handicap made us beat them. They hated us. They're like, we messed up everything when they played us little kids because we're just busy eating our popcorn, throwing the balls all over the place, and we could win because of the handicap. And one day, dad and mom had dropped us off, you know, in their big whatever, Buick car, whatever. And it's time for us to leave. We walk outside, and there's this little car, and we're like, we've never been in a little car before. We didn't drive little cars in our family. Our family was all about big cars, with big engines. That's who my dad was. Anyway, we got this little car, and because my dad, the accountant man that he was like, gas mileage. Gas mileage. And these Toyotas were just, you know, starting to, people were starting to buy them. So we had this little car. I learned to drive at the age of 9 in that little car. You know, I could not hardly see. My dad was raised on a farm. Everybody drove, right? You drove. I was terrible. My dad and my brother screamed in laughter as I stalled the car out over and over again. And I was absolutely terrible. It was 4 on the floor. Oh yeah, it was terrible. They just laughed, you know, but I learned to drive in that little car. And then it was James's first car. When he turned 16, and he was very hard on that car. I was thinking about the car. He could take the car when there was a little bit of moisture on the road. He could take the car, get it into a full spin. I mean, we're going, 30 miles an hour or something? Get it into full spin and then somehow pull it out and keep going down the road. It was wild. And what was my job? Don't scream. He would get very upset if I would scream. So he would just like, don't scream. That was my job. Don't scream. So we did all that in our little car. But then 1979 came and there was a terrible flood here, right? Anybody that lived here, there was over 40 inches of rain that fell in a 24-hour period. This whole area was underwater. You know, if you lived here, everybody had watermarks on their furniture. It was awful. You know, well, that car got flooded. So my dad and James or whoever and his buddy, they rebuilt the whole engine, still had the little car. You know, they pulled the seats out, dried the seats out, rebuilt the engine, and then I inherited the car. So when it was time for me to start driving, I got the little car. Well, now the car, it was 4 on the floor, right? No air conditioning, no power steering. Manual roll down windows. It had an AM radio, which I was grateful for. We had nothing, right? My job was to check the oil every day before I went to school. Oh, I hated that. I'd get all dressed for school, and Dad's like, don't you leave without checking the oil in that car. So I had to go out and pop the lid, stick the dipstick in because it dripped oil. But I knew how to, I kept oil in the back. I knew how to fill it with oil. I had a dented passenger door because somebody at Alvin High School parking lot ran into me one day. And so the door was dented in. But my friends and I kind of liked it because if we locked the keys in the car, we could shove on that dented door and get the door to open. So we were like, we're saved. You know, we don't have to call your parents. And it squeaked going down the road. Kind of had this thing, you know, But I was so thankful to have a car. I would drive down this road. You know, I was just so thankful to have my little car. But one of the things I remember is there was no power steering in the car. And I asked James, I said, was there power steering? He said, no. But it wasn't too hard because it was a little car, you know. I didn't really understand the value of power steering until one day I didn't have my little car. I don't know where it was at. But a friend, and it's funny, the friend's family actually, they didn't own this building, but they had a business in this building right here. And he's like, he was going to give me a ride to work. And he's like, you can't drive my truck. And I was like, I can drive your truck. I've been driving since I'm a little girl. I can drive your truck. So it was three on the column, this old Ford pickup. His car, his truck was red, white, and blue. His parents had painted it for the 1976 bicentennial celebration. So he's driving a red, white, and blue Ford pickup, you know, not worse than my car or about the same as my car. But that truck had no power steering. And he said, you can't drive this car. And I said, or truck. I said, oh, I can drive this truck. So we get in it. We're trying to get me to work. You know, I couldn't hardly turn that thing. I mean, I would have to put all my weight when it was time to turn. I'd put all my weight on the steering wheel just to try to get it to turn. It was so hard to turn. I don't know what year that truck was. Do you know what year that truck was? No. They were a family that lived near us. And I learned if you didn't have power steering back in the day, if you've never driven a car without power steering, you youngsters probably don't know anything about it. It's a whole different kind of driving. Power steering, if you define it, if you can tell I'm going somewhere with power steering, it's a system for reducing a driver's effort to turn a steering wheel of a motor vehicle by using a power source to assist steering. It's particularly helpful when maneuvering at low speeds. If you need to get around something, it's really helpful. You know, it's hard when the car isn't moving very fast. Making turns and changing directions. That's when it's really important to have the power steering. And so the title of my message tonight is Power Steering. God has provided kingdom principles for us that operate like power steering in our life. We can do it the hard way, or we can tap into this power steering that he has for us to help us in the areas of our life that we need to move up higher in. I want us to do a little exercise. I just want us to take a minute. And each one of us, let's just close our eyes for a second. And I want you to think about what your point of need is. Where do you have need? Where is your difficulty? What's that thing that's just nagging you every day? Is it a habit? Is it an addiction? Do you need healing? Is it a relationship problem? Do you need provision? Is it anxiety? Do you need peace? What's the big thing that needs to change in your life? I just want you to think about it for a minute, what that thing is. Praise the Lord. Okay, you can open your eyes, but I want you to keep that point of need in mind as we go through the lesson tonight. And I want you to apply the principles that we talk about to that thing, the thing that bothers you, the thing that you think about. We're going to apply the principles of God because God's going to help us tonight. That's what we're here for. Just like Brother Bobby prayed, we're gonna believe that God's going to give us utterance and he's going to bring change in our lives. So we walk away and we go, I've got some tools. I've got more revelation. I have more understanding. So my situation can change because that's what Jesus has for us. Praise the Lord. I want to look in the Bible about how it talks about our tongue. We're going to talk about our tongue tonight, our words. Praise the Lord. And when I read the scriptures, I want to ask that you watch for the positive and the negative. Our tongue has so much power to bring life and to bring death. But as we read the scripture, and he talks about it all throughout the scriptures, we see it in the old, we see it in the new, but the power of the tongue, and he's pleading with us, use it for good. There's so much healing in your mouth. Let's use it for good. Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs 18:21. Somebody, you can get your phone. Hello? Proverbs 18:21. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. Proverbs 18:21. And I just pray that our hearts would be kind of like Velcro tonight. We would just take that word in. And I encourage you not to, you can watch the screen, but Alan's going to put the scriptures up there. But also, maybe tonight, or if you don't have your Bible with you, go home and read them. There's something about seeing the scriptures with your eyes in your Bible, where you hear so many stories. People can talk, we can quote the scriptures, but when we see it, each one of us see it, we're like, wow, that's the words of God. And I don't know, there's just something, there's some life that comes forth when we do that. So Proverbs 18:21, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it," it's talking about if we're going to use our mouth, "will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. Let me read it again. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge in it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their word." That's a pretty powerful scripture, and I've read it before in church, but death and life are not decided by how much money we have, education, our DNA, our good decisions, our family, our healthy lifestyle, how much money we save, but it's in our words. It's in our words. That's what the Bible says. So it's powerful for us to remember that. Let's go to Proverbs 10:19. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." I'm going to read it again. "When there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Sometimes it's just time to be quiet, right? And then let's go to Proverbs 12:18. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." When I think, when I'm, that word rashly, when I think about that, to me, it's just thoughtlessly. I'm just, you know, all over the place. And the Bible says when we do that, it's like we're stabbing something with a sword. So we're not bringing life if we're just rattling off. We're going to start, instead of bringing life, we're going to bring death because we're just rattling. We need to be deliberate with our words. Yeah, it says, "But the tongue of the wise," and that's who we are. What does that mean? We're thoughtful and skillful and deliberate with our words. It brings healing. So we have the power in our mouth to bring life or death by what we say. If we're just going to, the first thing that comes to our mind, you know, let it flow out of our mouth, we might get in trouble, right? But we need to stop and be wise and tap into our spirit man and say, "What are you saying here, God? What are the words that you have for me to say?" Let's jump to the New Testament, and I want to read a few verses there in James chapter 3. I'm going to read this in the ESV version, and I'm going to read quite a few verses in this one, in this chapter. James chapter 3, verses 2 through 6. Bless you. All right. "For we all stumble in many ways." That's verse 2. "And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses," so he's making an analogy here, "so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies," which is interesting. He's saying when we put bits into the horse's mouth, and he's saying your tongue is like this, you guide the whole body of a horse. Verse 4, "Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire." Let's jump down to verse 8. "But no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." So here we see the negative. "For from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. It's interesting to me. The Bible speaks strongly against salty words. We call it Caleb salty sometimes when he's in a bad mood. And, you know, the Bible's telling us, don't be salty with your words. You need to be speaking the fresh words. You know, we all regret our bad words. You know, when we speak wrong and just let our mouth fly, right? But God is helping us to say the right things. And we can do that. It's difficult. It takes work. But we can do it. We can do it with the help of God, because in Christ we can. That Proverbs 12:18 verse, it says, but the tongue of the wise, we just read that one. It says, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And I love that. And I just believe that whenever we're faced with life, difficulties, we have a choice. What am I going to say? Am I going to speak the salty word or the fresh word? The words of life or the words of death? And we're going to choose the right words. We're going to choose the right words. And just as powerful, we've all been spoken to harmfully, and we've all had harsh words spoken to us. I don't think there's anybody that's ever gotten away with that. And it's just as harsh as the words can be. Think about the opposite of that. When we speak healing words to our brother or sister, or in a difficult situation, or about ourselves, or in our home, or at church, or you come upon a situation and you speak words of healing, think how powerful that is. And we've all been spoken to in that way as well. And think how it shifted things. You know, when you've been maybe in a hospital room and someone comes up and they say something, they speak the words of God to you, that brings healing. You know, we've all been there. And someone speaks kindness to us when we don't deserve it. That's so powerful. And we can do that. And that's what God's calling us to do. There's power in our mouths to bring healing, and we just have to tap into that. My personal word for the year, you know, a lot of times people say, this is my word for the year, or these are my goals. I haven't done my vision board this year, but my word for the year is trustworthy. And you go, trustworthy. I'm not telling lies. I'm not stealing stuff. What do I mean by that? I want to be trustworthy before God. And I want to be trustworthy with my words. That's really what I'm after. When life puts pressure on us and we feel, I call it the big emotions. And we talk about Caleb having his big 3-year-old emotions, you know. But when we feel our big emotions, when life puts pressure, we feel anger and sadness and betrayal, irritation, disappointment, fear, whatever it is, and that pressure gets on us, we get in a difficult situation, what's going to pop out of our mouth? And I was just thinking about that. I thought in the calm times, we need to be ready. We need to be putting the good stuff in. You know, we need to be putting the word in. That's why we read our Bibles. That's why we memorize scriptures. Even if you memorize one scripture a year, it'll change your life. You know, it's important that we're always feeding into it. So I just encourage you guys that in difficult seasons, don't let your mouth go rogue. God needs to be able to trust us. And you think about the birthright that was sold in the Old Testament. He was just hungry, and he just sold it all in a moment, you know. And you think, what's challenging us in difficult times? It's our flesh. We're uncomfortable or upset or whatever it is. So there's pressure on us. And then we just say and do things that are not wise. But in Christ, we can say the right thing. He can help us. And I just encourage you to dig deep. It's just like a changing of a channel. Walk by the Spirit, walk by the flesh. You know, under the fountain of blood, not under the fountain. You know, walk in darkness, walk in light. Right now, anything, you know, you can choose to think good thoughts. You can choose to think bad thoughts. So even in difficult situations, just like Tammy, you know, she had a challenge today. You know, I want to tell that testimony again in a minute. But, you know, we can choose what we say in difficult moments. So I want to read something to you. This is one of Joel Siegel's book on healed, being healed. And it's a 30-day devotional. And one of them, he's talking about the words of our mouth. And I just want to read this to you. It'll make sense. When I said that I want to be trustworthy before God, there's a reason for that. I want God to be able to trust me. Oh, God, help me. Even just saying it out loud, I'm like, I can't believe I'm telling people this. You know, life is hard, you know, and we do have a lot of pressure. But I just believe by his grace, we can say the right things. He can help us. But one of the reasons is because I want to be used by God. I want him to be able to trust me, and he can back my words. In this book, I want to just read a couple of paragraphs here where he's talking about the importance of our words. It says, maturity is required to be entrusted with words of power. You know, we all understand that we have authority. And sometimes we're like, I spoke to that thing and it didn't change. It didn't shift. Well, maybe we aren't being trustworthy with our words. Maybe we need to get our words in a place where God can trust us. Like, you know, I can, when Jane says something, I can get behind that because Jane's not going to go rogue on a bad day, you know? So it says maturity is required to be entrusted with words of power. As you live and maintain the habit of speaking right words, God will allow your words to carry greater degrees of his power. Then your words will have greater healing effect. Imagine speaking to a disease and it leaving. Imagine commanding a limb to grow and watching it happen. That's no fairy tale fodder. This is God's plan. Amen. But for your words to have this kind of power, God needs to know that you won't go rogue, that you won't use your power to kill. He needs to know that you won't open fire, as it were, affecting all around you. If your words are going to carry God's healing, you must remain responsible with the words you speak. I mean, all the words, not just, you know, one minute I'm going to speak good words, the other minute I'm going to be off. No, he needs to be able to trust us. You must speak purposefully and not randomly. You can't just mindlessly say what you feel. You must keep your tongue connected to the God realm and speak God words. Yeah. So that helped me when I was like, okay, trustworthy. I want God to be able to trust me. I want to mature up and grow up in the words that I say so that when it's time for me to speak and to use authority, God can trust me. He's like, I can get behind her words. And so I encourage you with that. So we have more authority, more fruit coming forth from our life because he can trust us. Praise the Lord. Sometimes we need to... we say, how do I get to this place of maturity with my tongue? I just want to give you about three different, where's my other page here? There it is. Three different ways for us to mature in our tongue and what we're saying. The first one, pay attention to your attitude and your thoughts. Pay attention to your attitude and your thoughts. Proverbs 4:23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The heart here, it's talking about, it's not talking about like when you get saved. It's not talking about your spirit being born again. It's talking about, and you'll see throughout the scriptures, heart is used interchangeably in different places, right? The heart of man. But in this passage, it's talking about your thoughts and your attitudes. So it's saying, guard them. Guard your attitude. Careful that it doesn't go rogue. Guard your thoughts that they don't go rogue, that you're not thinking on things you shouldn't be thinking about. For it's going to determine the course of your life. It's a powerful scripture like that other one. And in Luke 6, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whatever's in your heart, what you're thinking about, where your attitude is, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. So that's why we step back to that place of paying attention to what's in our heart. And then when it's time for us to speak, the good things will come out. The word of God will come out. Trustworthy words, you know, God words are going to come out. So what we do, we just pay attention to our heart. Yeah. So the second thing is, say what God says. I know that's so simple, but God told Noah to build an ark before it rained. So you or someone in your life is going to face a storm and we need to be ready. So what do? When I say build the ark, I'm saying, let's put the word of God in our heart for healing, for provision, for when we need authority, you know, be putting that in us all the time in the calm moments. So then when it, quote, rains, there's a storm and maybe your friend needs you to pray. Maybe your neighbor needs you to come over and agree with them because they need finances. Well, that word's in your heart. So we want to do that. So that's another thing. So we're going to say what God says. Get those words where you're used to saying those words. And just like during prayer tonight, Scott had us come up and pray the word over our church. And it was so powerful when we get the words of God in our mouth. And then the other thing, the third thing that I want to say is to hold back the wrong words. Let's just hold them back. Sometimes we just need to just say, I'm just not talking right now. Like that scripture said, when we speak rashly, you know, we don't want to do that. So sometimes we just need to be quiet. Sometimes when Scott and I are, if we're having a discussion, a heated discussion, sometimes it's just time for me to zip it. As my brother will say, zip it, Zippy. It's just time for Zippy to just stop talking, you know, and that's the best thing that can happen. And that's really powerful when we can control our mouth, right? Because, you know, our flesh gets the pressure put on all the things. So tonight I want to say your point of need that we were talking about earlier, that you when we closed our eyes and you said, this is my thing. This is the thing I want to see changed in my life. This is the thing that is bothering me, the area of my life where I just need more of God in. Sometimes we feel really overwhelmed by those things. And we think me saying something is not going to change anything. And that's a lie, because the Bible says when we speak, things change, right? I have a scripture. I mean, a picture, sorry. I want to have Alan show it. Scripture compared our tongue to the rudder of a ship. And I don't know if you guys, probably most of you have seen the big cruise ships. You know, they're massive. And I know there's ships that are bigger. But this is a picture of the bottom of a cruise ship. And the straight piece over here behind the propeller is the rudder. And if you think how that seems really big, but then you think how huge that ship is, and that rudder is what controls it. And those ships don't turn on a dime. They don't turn fast, but when that captain up there, he does his thing, you know, however they drive that boat, he's turning the rudder, and they can turn that thing around. They can reverse course. Don't be afraid of things in your life taking a minute. And the devil wants us to say, well, my words don't matter. I tried that. Well, we need to have, what's the word? Endurance. Because our tongue, it said in James 3, is just like that rudder. And that ship is so big. But you know what? That ship's going this way. The captain at the front of the boat, the helm of the boat, he turns the steering wheel. You probably don't even notice it when you're on the boat, but the change has started, right? So I want to encourage you, even if you seem overwhelmed, your tongue has the power to turn and reverse course in your situation, whatever it is. The other thing that the Lord compared our tongue to was a bit in a horse's mouth. And I was just thinking about, Alan has another picture for this. Some horses are really big. That's a big horse. And she's just holding it with one hand. She doesn't even, I'd have it probably wrapped around my wrist. I don't even think he has, I'm not even sure he has a bit in his mouth right now. But she probably rides that horse, right? She can control that horse. And the horse is way bigger than her. Some horses, they weigh 2,000 to 3,000 pounds. Yeah. Some of the big, big horses, that's how much they weigh. And how do they control them? There's another picture that he has. Look at that horse. That thing is huge. And how do they control that horse? With a bit in his mouth. So I don't care how big your problem is. It might be twice your size in a, you know, a 1 ton or more a pound horse is no challenge for that bit being in his mouth. You can control it. And that's the power that your tongue has. Don't be overwhelmed by your situation. God has given us, he didn't say, I'm just going to, you know, Jesus is going to come. Your sins are going to be forgiven. Someday you'll go to heaven and everything will be good. No, he said, I want you to have victory here and I'm going to give you the tools that you need. And we so often overlook our mouth and what we're saying. And so what I'm talking about, what is powerful for us to say is the words of God, the imperishable seed, the words that are in this book. They are the ones that make the difference. Also, just positive talking. It's so powerful. But the words of God, they're going to bear fruit. They can't come back void. And you may say, well, I don't see a change. Just keep saying them. Just keep saying them. Speak the word of God over your situation. And if you say, I don't know what to say, ask God to give you a scripture. Or come to me or someone else. Sometimes you just need one scripture. And just put it out of your mouth. If you don't have 14, that is just fine. Speak the word of God out of your mouth and don't quit. It's going to change your situation. I promise that it will. I was thinking about something today. Mrs. Beverly, I'm going to start closing here, but Miss Beverly, when she shared, we were back in the Rotary House, and she shared her testimony one night, and she talked about how she became a Christian as an adult, and she was very, very, very afraid of lightning. And she said she was just terrified whenever there was a storm and the lightning would start. And she became a Christian, but she still really struggled with it. I mean, she said she would just fall apart every time it would start raining and the lightning would come. And then she had her baby, and she was like, I can't imagine my baby being terrified of lightning like I am. So when Kelly was a baby, she would pick the baby up, and it would be lightning outside. She's still terrified. She'd take the baby over to the window. She would open the window, and she'd say, we're not afraid of lightning. And she would say it over and over again. They would go to bed, whatever. Next time it would rain, she would do the same thing. And she said, Kelly has no fear of the lightning. But she said, this is the powerful part. I'm not either. She said, sometime in that process, God healed me by me saying, I was just speaking to my daughter, we're not afraid of lightning. And God set her free as well. And she wasn't even expecting that, you know? She was just like, I don't want my baby to be afraid, but God set her free as well. That's powerful. So don't think that your words don't matter. And she was persistent. She was like, my baby's not going to be afraid. She wasn't afraid either anymore. I was thinking about another situation in my life. I had a couple of years where I had a lot of pain in my stomach. I had some ulcers and things. And one of the things that God instructed me to do, of course, I had to get the unbelief out of my heart. I had to, you know, I had to do some work. But he also had me speak scriptures over myself every day, like taking medicine. So 3 times a day, I would speak the word of God over myself. And at first, it really didn't seem like it was doing anything, just like the big ship, you know, turning the wheel. But it took me a little bit of time. But God completely healed me. And I noticed when I was faithful in speaking the words, it changed my thoughts and how I thought about it. Y'all have heard me say this before. But then God got behind my words because I was speaking the right words. And then it was just like this snowball. I would take a step and then he would shove me down the road, you know, about 3 miles. And it's like he would get involved in it. It was just so powerful. But I would never have thought it would have come that way. Then there were some things he said, I want you to take authority over this, and different things that he instructed me to do. But it had to do with my mouth. That's when the manifestations really began to come, is when I used what he'd been telling us to use, is the words of our mouth. So I just want to encourage you guys with that tonight. If you don't like where you're headed, and I just compare our tongue in saying our words with the power steering of the cars, right? We can steer with a finger, right? Just doing this, you know, in our car, whatever. When we get in there and start speaking the words of God, and we are consistently and in a mature way speaking God's words, he gets behind us and our situations start changing really fast. So I just want you guys to be encouraged with that. Whatever you're facing, your point of need, to get the words of God and say, I am going to be committed to this, because in my situation, I believed with all my heart that Jesus had paid the price for me to be well. But I was struggling getting from where I was at to the manifestation. I just was struggling getting from here, you know, where I was to that place. But when it got down to it, it was in my mouth the whole time. And when I started engaging my mouth, things began to change. So I just encourage you guys with that tonight. You can go ahead and stand. I want to read a passage in Isaiah 6. The prophet has had this amazing divine encounter with God. It says in the year of King Uzziah's death, anyway, he sees the Lord. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he sees the Lord. And he's just having this wonderful experience. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh my gosh, I'm undone. He says, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Of all the things to say when you're having an encounter with God, it just shows you mankind, we're all struggling with our mouths, right? But then what happened? Then in the vision, an angel comes from the altar. He gets a coal and he touches his mouth. And I just see that as God just stepping in. He going, it's okay. I'm just going to help you. You know, it's a prophetic thing. There's a lot of things in that chapter. But I see God coming in to assist this man who's saying, I'm really trying, God, but I'm really messing up in the area of my mouth. And, you know, when he saw God, that's the first thing he waved his hand at. It's like, oh, my gosh, my mouth is all messed up. And God said, it's okay. I'm going to take care of it. So he sends the angel. So I just want us to just bow our hearts before God tonight. And just let God do his thing with our mouth, because he can do what we can't do. His grace is sufficient. In Christ, we can do the right thing. In Christ, he will lead us, Natalie. He will show us what we need to be saying. He's going to show us when we're struggling with something, say, God, this is really bothering me. What's a scripture? What do I need to say in this situation? He will show you. Sometimes it's words of a song. Sometimes it's a scripture. Sometimes, you know, whatever it is, he makes all things new, and he can do that in our lives tonight. So I just want to pray for all of us tonight. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus for all my brothers and sisters here tonight, myself included, Lord. And I just pray, Father, encourage you guys to raise your hands to God just as a form of reaching out to him. Father, we just open our hearts to you tonight, and we ask that you would just step into our lives, Lord, and just help us by your grace. You said that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And Lord, you said that you're working in us, giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. So we don't even have to have the desire, Father. You even give us the desire to do what's right. And Lord, I just pray for those in this room, Lord, they're just struggling with the words, Lord, saying the right words, even cursing, Lord. We just put it before you tonight, Lord. I ask for your touch on every one of our hearts. And I just break the power of unclean words off of us, defiling words off of us in the name of Jesus. And Father, I just pray for each one of us that tonight would be a turning time for us. A turning time, Father, that we would begin to speak the words of God, that we would choose rightly, even in difficult situations, Father, that we would just sometimes be quiet, or Lord, that your words would rise in our heart. This is what God's saying. And you would help us have the courage and the know-how, Lord, to change and to mature in this area so that you can trust us, Lord, with your authority and your words when we need it most. Father, I speak a blessing on my brothers and sisters tonight, on these families. I plead the blood of Jesus over us as we go home. I declare us kept safe. And I just thank you for your goodness, Father. We give you praise. Let's just lift up praise to him. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. You're so good. You're so good. You didn't leave us as orphans, but you help us, Lord, and we can have confident access before you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel like the Lord's saying, for those of us that have just been struggling with our mouths, just to come to him and just say, Lord, I just turn. I'm just repenting. What is that? It means just to turn. I just turn away from that. Lord, I just choose a better way, and I ask you to help me. I ask you to help me say the right things. Help me to say the God things, Lord, that I can honor you in my heart, in my life, in my home, and on my job, even when I'm just by myself, Lord, that I'll say the right things, Lord. The right things to my family, to my coworkers, to my dog, to my neighbors, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the life and the healing that is in our mouth. And Father, I pray over this church that we would be a people, Father, that speak words of healing and life, Lord, that affect change. And Lord, I pray for every person in here, Lord, the difficult things that they've been going through, Lord, I just pray your touch on them right now in Jesus' name. That breakthrough would happen tonight. I declare it with my mouth. by the power of the name of Jesus, Father, that we don't have to struggle with these things forever, Lord, that manifestations come, that changes come, Father, when we lay our heads down tonight, Father, that we lay down in peace. Hallelujah, that healing comes to our bodies in Jesus' name. We just receive it, Lord, by the power of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for touching my brothers and sisters tonight. Thank you for your love, Lord Jesus. We honor you and bless you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all for coming out tonight. I've just got two little announcements here. Sister Rose is out with her husband. If you guys want to jump on the meal train and send her a meal or something, we've got a couple of little brochures over here, or I can send you a link if you want to send her like a gift card, or if you want to do food. She's got some dietary restrictions. You can jump on that, but it's all in there. And then also, we still need a couple more people for the housekeeping team. So if you're interested in that, reach out to me or Tammy Furness. So I love you guys. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.